All right, well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you all today. As we, talked about, this is week two in the book of James, and I hope everyone did their homework last week and read it all. Now I'm just teasing. There's no test or anything like that, but I think it does help in the realm of context as we read through it all. So it's good to be with you all. I do really want to say really appreciate you all. It is good to be loved by you all. As Katie went through back surgery on Friday, just the things brought to the house and the prayers and the reaching out and checking in, really appreciate all that. And I want to say it was slightly overwhelming, but it's just good. Like I said, it's just good to be loved by you all and brought together here. When Katie was looking at the meal train, when people were bringing meals, she's like, Paige Rhodes is bringing it on, I forgot what day. I said, oh, awesome. I said, what you bringing? She says, TBD. And I said, oh, to be delicious. And I laughed at myself for an annoying amount of time afterwards. So to say I'm excited for that, I mean, you all really do a great job cooking. And if you haven't been here on the last Sunday as we eat together, like the meal's always super good. And it's just good to fellowship in good food as we should, right? So I really do appreciate you all in all that. So as I mentioned, this is week two in the book of James. Now last week we went through the first four verses, so we looked at trials. So as we go through the following scriptures and texts, like reminder, trials, like what are they? They're things put in our way by God to help us strengthen our faith. They are things we may not like, but they have a purpose, and that purpose is to help us test our faith, produce steadfastness, and that we wouldn't lack in anything, okay? The other thing we talked about is they are unavoidable. So sorry, like, you're not going to get out of this one, all right? And also with the trials, they will be of various kinds. So from small to large to flat tire to sickness, like, these are things that will happen to us. They have a good purpose, though. As I mentioned, they bring us to God. He uses them for our good, all right? And this is preparing us for the endurance needed to live this life here, okay? This is preparing us for endurance. It's preparing us for the things that we lack. And it's also, as we talked about, has eternal implications on our life, all right? This is not just like here and then done, like this world's tough and it's over, but it is preparing us to look more like Christ as we grow in a love and knowledge of him. So it's for our good, all right? This is not without purpose. But today we're going to talk about an area we lack, we all lack, and we may not know we lack it, but we do. In comparison to God, we definitely lack it. And that is that we lack wisdom. All right, we lack wisdom, and wisdom especially in trials and knowing how to handle them, and wisdom in knowing areas of our life that need to be turned to look more like Christ. So our major point of today's text is how we respond to trials shows what we believe about God, okay? How we respond to trials shows what we believe about God. So do we believe he is in control, it's for our good, or do we believe, no, that's not the case, all right? And really, like, I came up to the point, like, oh, that's a good point. And then I'm like, well, that's really true for everything in the Bible, right? Like, how we respond to money shows what we believe about God, how we respond to conflict, relationships, our time, like everything in the Bible and how we respond to it shows what we believe about God. So maybe that'll be my point from just like now on, all right? Like today's text, how that applies to God. But it's really true. I think it's more revealing when things are uncomfortable, like when we face trials or when things aren't really how we want, how we react to them and how God's people have always reacted to it really shows what we believe about God and his goodness and care, all right? So in that, we got to remember also in trials, don't be a forgetful people, all right? Don't be a forgetful people on what God has done and what he has promised us, all right? It's really true as we go through some of the text today. Don't be a forgetful people. We need to be reminded of it. Now, we are going to cover some ground today. It's only seven verses, but there is a lot of what maybe seemed as like theme jumping or going back and forth. So the four kind of like sections of the scripture today. The first part, we're going to talk about wisdom itself, like where it comes from, how we get it, why we need it. The second part, we're going to talk about like those that doubt. Now, spoiler alert, that's all of us, okay? Those that doubt. Next, we're going to talk about being rich and poor, then the end goal. Now, this may seem like all over the place, and when Greg and I were talking through what scripture, how we're going to break it up when we preach, like I had this one broken up more, but in talking with Greg and reading, this is really like all together, right? In the view of trials, like all these things may seem different, but they work all together in how James, as you remember, old camel knees, is bringing it together for us. So what I want to do now, let's have us get your Bibles out. Let's read James 1, 5 through 12. So if you need a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you. If you need to know where James is at, there's a table of contents in the front of the Bible. Or if you just want to start at the very end of the Bible and hang a left till you get to James, it's pretty close to the end. So if you would turn to James 1, 5 through 12. So James 1, 5 through 12 reads, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith and with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching heat and withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for James. We thank you for knowing him and for him being able to see you in the flesh, but also being a leader of the church and writing these words. And thank you for your example time and time again of God's people going through difficult things, going through hard things, but also seeing how you carried them through that. And help us be a people that reflect this. We pray for the Holy Spirit's help today in revealing text and word and being a helper to us all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I talked about, like, these themes or these sections can be taken out of context if you take just, like, piece by piece. So if we're going to, like, it seems like James is just railing on being rich, like, poor is being better in verses 9 through 11, but it was, we work this all together, we'll see how these things work together. So this is all working together to help us understand what James is trying to tell us. So the first theme that we have today, the first theme up there is that wisdom is from the Lord. Now, like ultimate wisdom, not just like how to do things, but like godly wisdom is only from the Lord. In the first section of verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach." So as I mentioned earlier, and this will be like the common thing, like to remind ourselves of this time and time again, like when we're going through and in trials, we have to admit that we don't know everything, okay? Like, sometimes it's easier to say than do, but we have to admit, like, we don't necessarily know what's going on. We definitely don't know initially how God is using it for our good, all right? We have to work on that. We have to think about how we don't know the answers or we don't know how to handle it, especially in a God-focused way, all right? It may seem daunting, but the good news is that God does. Like, an all-knowing God knows how this is going to be used. An all-knowing God knows how he's thought this out for us to be more like him. And all-knowing God is in charge of everything. And the Bible is full of examples of God's wisdom and how he's so much greater than we could even think or imagine. In Psalm 147:5, it says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." And quoting Isaiah and Job, Paul writes in Romans 11:33-36, he says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how instructable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him all things, to glory, to him be glory forever. Amen." So we're thinking about, like, there's a pinnacle, there's an ultimate source of all wisdom, and that is God. It's not like we've got options here to get godly wisdom. Like, there's only one source to this, all right? You think about, like, just wisdom in itself, like good wisdom is trustworthy, right? Think about like who's the wisest person you know. Like you can go to them and you're going to get a good answer. Be it like, hey, wisdom on even earthly things like what car to buy, like how to fix these things, where do we make certain decisions. Like if you're looking for a wise person, you're probably looking for the people that have been there and done that. Like you think about even on YouTube, people are making full careers out of like sharing their wisdom. But that's not ultimate wisdom, right? Ultimate wisdom comes from God. And really, what's better than that? Like, God is ultimate wisdom. And the good thing about it, he's not stingy with his wisdom either. Like, he gives it freely. And in 5a, like, ask God, who gives generously to all. All right? So God gives us wisdom, but it does beg the question, but how? Like, well, he says here, freely. All right? How? Well, to all who ask. Okay? All right. How does he give it? Just in prayer, knock at the door. So there's a practical aspect to this, right? Where we're like, all right, he gives it to us, but how does he give it to us? Well, as we see in scriptures, we talk, the first part is like you've got to ask for it. You've got to ask for it in faith. So you've got to pray. And in this, we've got to reset how we have been trained, let's say in school, in society, like how we're getting knowledge. It's not like wisdom. It's not like immediately. Like sometimes this may take some work and resilience on our part. Like it's definitely going to take some effort on our part. Like we have to do these things. I know, like me personally, I'm sure same for a lot of you all, like I'd rather just ask and then get an answer, right? Like I want this to be fixed. I want this to be known how I should handle it. I want this, like it sounds real selfish saying it, doesn't it? Like I just want it how I want it. Like we want our answer and we want a direct revelation. And sometimes we see that in scripture. Like I'm not saying that God won't or can't do that now, but like if you think about Old Testament, Jonah was told what to do and he didn't do it. Like Paul, the Apostle Paul, was told to stay in Corinthians or stay in Corinth and stay there and do the work, and he was told in a vision to do those things. All right. But when we're thinking about like I want to ask and get an answer, that's not really wisdom that we're asking for. It's not really wisdom that we're wanting. We just want to be told what to do and how to do it. We want it now. Like, God's not giving us in this, he's not giving us answers to a test. He's not just saying like, okay, it's question one is A, two is C, and that way we can just get through it and be done with it. That's not what it is. We got to think about wisdom from the Lord isn't a one-time use only gift. This isn't something where like, you're given wisdom and it'll only apply to this situation now. Like this will be a lifetime of growth and understanding of him. All right, so I didn't answer the question, did I? Like how does he give wisdom? All right, I think there's, in my study and reading other things, I think there's three main ways that he does it. Our first is prayer. And obviously he says to do it here. Like we have to ask and we have to ask in faith, right? He tells us to do it here. In prayer, like we may not get that direct revelation of like what to do or how to do it, but when you pray and do it over time and I would say consistently and more than a few seconds at dinner time, is that prayer helps turn our hearts to God's will and not just ours, okay? And we're praying not just for a fix, but for an understanding of what we are lacking and what God is doing in our life, okay? The Holy Spirit also in prayer helps steer us. Do you ever get lost in prayer and then it's like 10 minutes later and you're like, where was I at? Like for some reason I'm thinking about things that happened, I don't know, 10 years ago. So distraction definitely happens. The Holy Spirit, I think we call on him and help, you know, prayer and ask him to help us, will help steer us. Romans 8, 26 and 27 is a great reminder. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So you have help in that. And I think you'll just be amazed, and probably the wiser Christians here will agree that over time the prayer, how it just changes from what I want, how I want fixed, to what God to be glorified. We pray every week, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Like, do we believe that in all things? So when you pray, though, there's some things that are probably going to come up, and we'll talk about this more later, but like, When you pray, be ready for the revelation of sin. Like, the more we know about God's goodness and holiness and righteousness, the more we understand the depths of our own wickedness and sin. So remember, this is all to make us look more like Christ in endurance and faith in Him. So we talked about last week, and again, like when we're going through a trial, our first question should be to that, like someone comes up to you and say, I'm going through this. Our first question to them is, have you prayed about it, right? Because like, do that first before you talk to me. Like, you're not going to get any better wisdom. You're definitely not going to get better wisdom from me than you would in prayer and time spent with God. So that's step one to this. Now, the second way that God gives us wisdom is the Bible, all right? I'm giving all the good church answers today. You know, prayer, Bible, Jesus will probably be in there also, all right? The Bible. The Bible is full of wisdom. Like, we just did an entire 9-week sermon series on wisdom that is shown in the Bible, especially the book of Proverbs, and how it applies to the broader spectrum of the things we go through day to day. And in that, not only does the Holy Spirit help us in prayer, but the Holy Spirit helps us in understanding God's Word. It helps us see His Word. It helps us discern it. And I think you'll be amazed what you learn about God when you go to the source. All right? You go to the source that teaches about Him. Go to the source that shows His goodness. And as I mentioned earlier, like there's some effort involved on our part in gathering wisdom, and you have to read the Bible to it. And I'm always amazed, like, you know, scriptures where I felt like I've got a good understanding or read it, like even the book of James, done studies on it before, and the things I'm learning in this by just simply reading. That's why I asked you all last week, just read the book of James and see what God does in that, and a good habit for it. And the problem we have here in all this, so if we aren't looking for wisdom in word and prayer first, that's a problem. Okay, that's got to be step one and two together before we do anything else. So have you prayed about it? And scripture is, again, helpful to us in all things. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. This is my favorite line of this. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now this, the Bible and prayer sometimes, maybe, not explicitly tell you how to handle a situation or show it, but it does show areas of our heart that need adjusting to God first. The third way that I think that God gives wisdom to His people is that it's through God's people. Like, we are a resource for each other, and it is, if you've not been around, it is a wonderful thing to be around a wise Christian. Like, they are calm, they are steadfast, they have experience, they have experience not only in the ways that God's helped them, but the ways they've grown out of sin and things that they've done. Like, that is good, and it applies to all of us. We read it earlier, but I'll read it again in Colossians 3:16. Says, let the word of God dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Like, we are to teach and admonish and bring up one another in all wisdom, not our own wisdom, but one that's given from God. So it shows that we need to know each other. We talked about, I think Linda mentioned in small group last week, sometimes our trials that we have are to be used as a help for one another, as a reminder of God's word. As you know, I've seen in the lives of Christians where someone went through a difficult situation and we had someone from church go to them and they said, finally, someone's here that understands. Like, finally, someone's here that knows. And it's one of those things that may be difficult, but how is God using it not only for our good, but also for the good of others? Trials should be used to benefit others. And it shows how God helps us navigate things that are really difficult. It shows how God's helped us navigate loss, job issues, sickness, debt, deep personal hurts. Like, it helps us in how we're honest with each other and how it was hard and how God helped us. Like, I want us to assess this week, like, how are we an example for one another in the trials that God's put us through? Like, it is a really neat thing to see when someone has been refined through the fire and come out refined and not ruined through different trials of various kinds. So our next theme up on the board is, do you really want to know? All right, do you really want to know God's wisdom and what He's doing? I would say that this is the biggest reveal of today's point of how we respond to trials shows what we believe about God. In 6 through 8, it reads, But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. So do you really want to know God's wisdom? As I mentioned time and time again, trials are showing areas of our life that is lacking. And in prayer, oftentimes hidden sin revelations come through it. So like Jonah, like we're told what to do, but in hopes of avoiding it, like we're missing out on what God has planned altogether, or trying to. And if we're honest, like we don't ask questions we don't want the answers for, right? Like we're afraid, like, hey, this is a difficult area of life, but I'm not going to ask these questions so I don't have to adjust it. I read in a study today, this is probably my favorite quote, it said, "Godly wisdom often requires us to do that which is opposite our natural inclinations." Okay, God's wisdom often requires us to do that which is opposite our natural inclinations. So when we go through trials, like, and it's difficult, if we go flying off the rails or we go off the deep end in a hard time, it's really revealing what we believe about God and his goodness. This is not like a comfort statement. It's just like, this is what God's people do. All right, God's people have always gone off the deep end or hit the panic button when trials have happened. And you think about ways of, like, they've done this in the Old Testament when they built a golden calf. They wanted judges to rule over them. Naomi freaked out when she wasn't sure what was going to happen. They stole stuff. They doubted. They murdered. They disobeyed God because they were afraid, basically. If you think about all through Joshua, he's reminding people, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you. Like, that is a reminder to us as we think that these things that are trivial and timely burn up are going to have eternal consequences of our life when the Bible says the opposite. So when we go off the rails, we're showing what we think makes us happy, what is giving us peace. So when these things aren't going right, we're showing what makes us happy. We're showing what gives us peace. We're showing what we believe gives us comfort. We're showing what we believe what gives us hope. Now, if you're putting these hope things out, like outside of the world, in things that are not of God, what did you expect to happen, right? Like, did we expect our job run by sinful people to go well? Did we expect sinful people to treat us well? Did we expect all these things to happen to us to be good outside of God? And it's not true. I don't want to downplay that these things are not incredibly difficult. As we talked last week, like, there is a lamenting, there is a difficult thing to it, there is a hurt involved in us, but like, we can't expect these things of the world to give us our ultimate hope and peace. Like, and when we hit the rail or get off the rails when these things happen, like, it's often revealing times, and I've done this where I, like, oh, that was what I was putting my hope in. That's what I was relying on for financial stability or whatever it may be. So if we got to remember, too, that the world is not our home. 2 Corinthians 5:5 is one of my favorite verses in this. It's just saying, like, we're groaning. Like, we're not supposed to be here. Like, we want to be with God and not here. So we got to have the understanding that these things are not ultimate in our life. And also, in trials, if we act the way the world does, how does that show them that our hope is in something better? Like, if people that aren't saved come here and see us just really stressing about things that, A, we can't control or not eternal, like, what hope are we showing other people? Like, what hope are we showing them? Like, I hope that when we go through difficult things, we go through hard things, that people that aren't saved see us and be like, why is this person not freaking out? Like, why is this person not participating in gossip? Why is this person not complaining about things that, like, we're all complaining about and it doesn't seem to bother them? Well, it's because we know that we have an ultimate hope and peace in God. We know that we have an eternal hope in him. The other part of it is like we like it, don't we? Like, sometimes we just like feeling wronged, right? We just like having something to complain about. We like being the most important thing in our own eyes. And the sad part is we know how to operate sometimes in that upheaval. Like, we know how to operate when things aren't going wrong because that seems most natural to us. Remember, godly wisdom requires us to do that which is opposite our natural inclinations. I don't want to downplay the hardness or the hurt of it. We've got to uplift what God's promised us as his people in this. In the section of Scripture, there's some tough words that I've had to come to grips with and how I've behaved in my own life in this. Like, doubting God says that we are like waves. Like, you think about waves, it's just back and forth. It's not stable, it's not calm, it's always oscillating. It's oscillating in chaos if we're doubting God in this. It's not what God is calling us to do. It also said that person is double-minded. What it's meaning here is that person is torn between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the world. Like, we can't find wisdom in the world and in God. Like, that's where we're just back and forth, and it's the worst part of it. It calls that person unstable in all their ways, and this is not what God is calling us to be as believers. Like, we've got to ask for wisdom and ask in faith, knowing that difficult trials are coming to us and happening. We've got to be humble in it. Psalm 25, 8, 9 says, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way." In this part, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. So are we humble or asking God for it? Remember, trials show our peace and hope in eternity. Verse 4 says, "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That is the goal that we're going through. The next theme number 3, is what we rely on. In 9 through 11, it says, "Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flowers falls, its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of pursuit." Now, if you're looking at this just like, I'm going to pick this section of scripture and read it out. It looks like James is just really railing on being rich, how it's bad and how being poor can be better. But if we back up and read this in the context of trials, like this shows something different. And a study I read explained that both being rich and being poor brings a person to focus on the world instead of Christ. Okay, like, where are we finding not only where are we finding our provisions and happiness, but like, what are we relying on instead to take care of us? So in that, we can't forget that what God has promised us, even in trials, and what he gives us in that. So spoiler alert, more on that next week. So if you're poor, you get to boast in our standing with God, a standing that we did not deserve or earn. We get to fully rely on his resources like he has promised us, our food, shelter, clothing. And we get to say, hey, this trial is hard, but it's leading me to trust more on God in this. Now, if you're rich, it's saying that money doesn't solve all the problems. You know, as Biggie Smalls said, more money, more problems, right? Like, this is one of those things, just like my mom and I were talking about the lottery yesterday, and it was like you get all this stuff, but like, that's almost chaotic in a sense of like all the things you have to manage, all the things you have to do if given that resource. I told Aaron Howard, like, we send each other Facebook Marketplace all the time. I said, it is God's kindness that we do not win the lottery, because you and I would just be pulling a trailer place to place and getting all kinds of random stuff together. So it's in his kindness sometimes. So we don't hope in the provisions, and we don't rely on them either if they're apart from God. And riches and the rich people are just full of chaos sometimes too. If you think about, like, we see it time and time again, this is not a resource that gives us full fulfillment in our money. All these things will be burned up. And what are we looking to when it comes to handling trials? Are we looking for godly wisdom? We're looking for provisions of the world. Our last theme today is, all right, this has been difficult. Okay, this seems like, ooh, this is heavy. But there is a reward in this. Like, there is an end to this. There is good things that God has promised as he takes us through these trials. Verse 12, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him." Now, this is not a jeweled crown, but a crown of life. This is our great eternal hope that we have in him. And earlier he says that we will know the testing of our faith, that we will produce steadfastness, that there is a good end goal, a good eternal, good eternal reward for us as we go through these things. The eternal implications is living a Christ-centered, Christ-focused life prepares us for eternity with him. And we go through these trials, we realize there needs to be less of us and more of him. And for the believer, there is a good end to all these trials. These trials are not just because, it's random. These trials are for our good and shows that we need more of him. And this isn't our end. So our question to you all today is, what wisdom do you need to know today? What wisdom do you need to know today? What trials are you going through that you haven't prayed about yet? What trials are you going through that you need help with? What hard times, what life changes, what relationship issues, what things you need wisdom from God that only He can provide, but you've got to ask for it. You've got to ask in faith for it, and you'll receive that. Or do you need the wisdom of God in salvation? For the believer, trials are a good thing to us. For those that aren't saved, maybe it is bringing you to God, but it seems way more random and hurtful. But God uses hard things for our good. If you're here and you're not saved, today is a great day to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. We know that we were all once enemies of God, and we were separated from Him, and we can do nothing to be saved, that we can't do anything good enough to be saved, we can't do anything to pay for our sin, but God being rich in mercy, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And that is the great reminder that we need in doing these hard things. It was way worse for us apart from Christ. And as we refine these things, they are all small in the realm of spending eternity with God. Katie says a lot to the kids, in view of Christ dying on the cross for your sins, is this a big deal? Not always, no. All right, so well, as we've talked about, I've got a couple of other slides. We've got some applications. So the application from today's sermon, I hope first you pray. Like that's check one. Tomorrow we've got a day designated for us. So pray for godly wisdom. And I want you to also, next point, we've got to work for it as well. And we've got to read our Bible. And we've got to remember what's eternal in all these things. Now the other thing I want to do, I think I put it up here. One more. This didn't save over. All right, my last one is okay, go to the next one, sorry. What's our end goal? And then our holy homework should be next. All right. And next one. All right, we got to pray, we got to ask for wisdom, and we've got to read the Bible. And our last one is going to be the more difficult one. We've got to have some assessment time, okay? What I want you all to do this week in our holy homework is I want you to talk to your spouse or a fellow church member about how are we handling trials now, or how have we handled trials in the past? Like, are we handling this in a way that is asking God for wisdom, or are we just relying on ourselves in that? All right. And our resources this week, the first one we've got is I would ask you all or encourage you all to listen to Ramsey Creek Baptist Church sermons. Rod just finished the whole series in James. Rod is on a short list of pastors that I personally know well that I would love to imitate my walk with Christ like. And he's been steadfast in this. A lot of great wisdom in Rod's sermons. And then our last resource is a song that called Wisdom and Grace by Bifrost Arts. They've got a lot of like Lamentations type songs, but this one really hits on to like teach us your ways. So things, resources for you all there. All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your care. We thank you for trials of various kinds, that it shows what we're lacking. And we thank you for your goodness in that, that you have helped us in this. Help us not rely on our own wisdom or our own understanding. Help us not rely on the things of the world. And help us show what it means to have stable wisdom in you as we go through these difficult things, as we go through things that are hard, as we go through things that may seem just really difficult and that we don't understand, that we would show a calmness and a peace and a hope and something that is eternal, and that is in you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.